And we do know that sleep is essential. It does make us feel better, gets rid of those dark circles under our eyes. But its importance does go way beyond that, as we heard from Nancy. It's when our bodies repair damage, renew cells, balance our hormones out, clean out the waste products, and so much more. Beyond that, sleep also helps support several aspects of mental health, brain function, and long-term wellness. But what happens when you don't get enough kip? Jeffrey Ileff has been tackling just this issue in his lab at the Oregon Health and Science University. He joins us now. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, Kat. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for coming. Your work focuses on the connection between the lack of sleep and neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's. But can you kind of take us back a few steps and talk about the discovery that you made a couple of years ago about one of the cellular processes that are going on when we sleep?
What we found was that what the brain seemed to be doing when it was going to sleep was that, contrary to what we thought about fluid movement through the brain, which was that there's this fluid that was on the outside of the brain called cerebral spinal fluid, and we thought that that was sort of serving as this cushion, one of the things that we found was that fluid on the outside of the brain, when animals went to sleep, would be recirculating and pumping back through the brain, washing through the spaces between the brain cells and clearing out some of the cellular wastes that build up in the spaces between the cells throughout the waking day.
So it's literally kind of brainwashing at night.
Yeah, but not the sort of brainwashing that happens in a cult, but rather the sort of brainwashing that your brain needs to have happen to function sort of within the very narrow tolerances that neural activity requires.
So there's all this kind of fluid sloshing about our brains. I imagine a bit like a dishwasher or something like that. But what is it clearing out?
We actually don't yet know everything that it's clearing out. So we know that there's a large amount of fluid flushing back through the brain during sleep. We've identified two proteins that seem to be cleared by this process. One of those proteins is called amyloid beta, and one is called tau. And both of those proteins are protein species that are known to build up and begin to clump up in the brains of subjects with Alzheimer's disease.
Is that what's responsible for that kind of groggy feeling the next day?
So we don't know yet whether it's those proteins in particular that are what make you feel so crummy the next day. There's certainly biological evidence that those proteins can make neurons function more poorly and sort of not communicate with each other the way they should. However, there's a number of other proteins and chemicals that are probably also being cleared by the same process, not just amyloid beta and not just tau. And whether it's actually one of those proteins or one of those molecules that's the sort of sleep substance, right? The thing that makes you feel more and more tired as the day goes on, or that's the culprit for making you so foggy the next day, we don't know. One possibility that it's all of the above. If it's the spaces between the cells that that's the space where the communication between neurons happens. And if that space is becoming sort of dirtier and murkier, then the network properties of the brain itself may be changing. And that may be what's sort of at the root of that murkiness. It's just a degradation in the quality of the environment of the neurons themselves.
And you mentioned that there is this buildup of these neurotoxins if you don't get a good night's sleep. Do we know if sleep deprivation is what's leading to things like Alzheimer's by not washing out these things?
The simple answer is we don't know yet. There's a lot of correlational data that suggests that there may be a connection between the sleep that you get, its duration, its quality, and the dynamics of the buildup of those proteins in the brain. So, for example, if you take a young, healthy person and measure the amyloid beta within their brain during the day and during the night, what you'll see is during the day, the levels of amyloid beta build up. And then when the subject goes to bed and then you test the next morning, you'll find that the levels will have gone down. So levels of amyloid beta are cycling up and down and up and down during the day and there during the night. A study in the Netherlands actually showed that in those young subjects, if you kept them up all night, the drop in amyloid beta that's supposed to happen during the night doesn't happen, and instead the amyloid beta levels remain high. Now, that's, you know, one night of sleep deprivation. On the very far other end of the scale, we find that among patients with mild cognitive impairment, those are patients with a sort of pre-Alzheimer's disease, worsening sleep quality and shortening sleep duration are both associated with the amount of amyloid beta building up in the brain.
If I stay up really late, loads and loads and loads, which I do tend to, and now you've got me worried, am I increasing my risk of developing a condition like Alzheimer's?
The simple answer is that we don't know yet. The data suggests that all of us who sort of burn the candle at both ends, and I'm certainly one of those people as well, we probably should be thinking about not just, you know, what are the consequences of that this week? You know, am I going to be foggy at my meeting tomorrow? Or am I going to be kind of short with my kids? We should probably start to think about what do our long-term sleep habits, what are their implications for us, you know, in 20 and 30 years, especially when I think most of us are probably planning on living, you know, into our 70s and 80s and 90s now.
It sounds like there's still a lot to discover when it comes to sleep and what's going on in the brain, but the research that you've done suggests that there may at least be some kind of link. It's not clear whether it's chicken or egg yet, between a lack of sleep and the buildup of these proteins and neurodegenerative diseases as we get older. And also from talking to some people, I know that there are links between quality of sleep or lack of sleep and psychiatric conditions. Yeah, there are problems with people with schizophrenia in their sleeping. Do you think that there should be a bit of a wake-up call to the world to say sleep is really important and we need to do more to ensure better sleep?
Yes, I think that's definitely the case. The research, it's still at a very early stage where we're just starting to appreciate these relationships, but we haven't yet figured out which way they go. Is lack of sleep causing these things, or is lack of sleep simply a feature of mental illness or, you know, neurodegenerative disease? We'll be figuring that out, we think, in the next 10 years. But I think it does raise sort of a yellow flag or a red flag for us who, you know, walk through life chronically sleep deprived, that there may be a price to pay for that eventually. And we need to bear that in mind as we go about our daily lives.
That's definitely something to ponder while we go to bed tonight. Thank you very much. That's Jeffrey Iliffe from Oregon Health and Science University. And big thanks to all our other studio guests today. That's David Stilwell, Tim Post and Nancy Wasenston. And finally, for our question of the week,
Daniel Blackwell has been journeying to the Land of Nod to find out the answer to this question from listener Alberto.